Welcome to Write for Joy. I'm Allie Cross. I'm an author and happiness enthusiast. I've chased joy my whole life until one day I realized I already had it. Joy is all around us, so let's see if we can grab some of it for ourselves today. I'm Allie Cross, and this is Write for Joy. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited today to be joined by Carolyn Campbell.
And I'm excited to be here.
Thank you, Carolyn. We have been through the ringer today to bring you this show. I love that Carolyn's bio is two very short sentences, because I just found out she's a talker. What she's always, because that's what she told me.
I am.
But that is not the Carolyn that I have known. I've seen Carolyn speaking and teaching at local conferences since I started. And one thing that I love about her is that she is so good at asking other people about whatever and getting them talking. So I thought she was a good listener, and now she tells me she's a good speaker. I know she's a good speaker, but a good talker. So I'm very happy that she is here and that she is a good talker, because listen to this bio. And then at the end, when we compare all the fun stories that she's going to share with us, we'll really think that her little tiny bio is like a misdirect or something, a red herring. I don't know. That's not quite right. So Carolyn is the author of 3 books and 900 magazine articles. Like, just let that sink in for a moment. I wonder how many books you would have written with those 900 articles,
what a great question. Because many
of they probably reign in length.
Oh, they do. They do. There's a range of
range.
There's a range of lengths.
And she's been writing for 40 years, which is twice as long as me. So I want to shut up now and just receive everything that she has to give. So, Carolyn, kick us off. Tell us about yourself. I want to hear all your stories.
I had so much fun thinking about this and thinking of what I could say.
and it almost didn't happen.
So much. I majored in journalism, and then after college, I really wanted to start writing for magazines and newspapers. I really wanted to. And so I called this Utah magazine called Utah Holiday. And I said, I'd really like to write for you. And I thought the editor would say, well, how many places have you published? Or what experience do you have? Because I didn't have anything yet. But he just said, come down here and we'll talk about some possibilities. And I thought, really? We're going to do this? And so I had a new baby. And I remember leaving with my baby with the sitter and driving all the way downtown. And I expected him to be this fancy guy, maybe even wearing a tuxedo. And when he came out, he's a little round guy, kind of like I am now, a little round guy. And he said, we talked for a few minutes, and then he gave me an assignment, and it was to write about banking. And if there's anything I know nothing about, it's banking.
Wow.
But I researched it as hard as I could, and that was my first article publication. Then he gave me an assignment to write about cars, and if there's anything I know less about than banking, it's cars. So I wrote about that. But I discovered a love for nonfiction, and then I wanted to mention the last time I saw him we were driving, he wanted me to meet someone. We were driving out in South Jordan, and we were both saying how much we loved our writing. And I said, I don't know where I'd be without it. And he said, I don't even know who I'd be. And I realized that that statement fit me too. I don't know who I'd be without that.
But that isn't where you got your start.
Oh, yeah.
Writing.
When I was a little girl and I was in bed one time, my dad brought a book to me and he handed it to me. And I saw on the spine it said Random House. And he said, wasn't it nice of that company to make this book just so you could read it? And I felt just a shimmer go through me, just kind of a shimmer. And I thought, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. I want to write books and articles, all that stuff. And at the end of elementary school, I remember walking through the halls and telling myself stories in my head. So it really is my one dream. It's the one thing I really, really wanted to do more than anything else.
What led you to journalism instead of fiction writing?
That's really a good question. I majored in it in college, but I really wanted to write mysteries. I really wanted to be on the New York Times bestseller list and write mysteries, but I just started with those two assignments and I kept going. And then I love the idea that you can sell articles by just writing a one-page query, and you don't have to write any more until you have a sale. And I love that. So I'm always sending off queries. I used to have a query day where I'd send off a few pitches or a few queries.
Uh-huh.
And now someone told me Sunday night is the best night to send queries off. So I send lots of queries off on Sunday night. And then I would just wait to hear back. And I loved it. It's like he said, I don't know who I would be without it.
But you don't do that anymore?
Oh, I still do. I still send queries. And now sometimes people call me with assignments, but mostly I really do try to think of things. And I was going
to... I thought your beginning, before we see your articles.
Okay.
I want to hear the clutter story.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites. My sister and I were kind of rivals, and she called me one day, and she said, Carolyn...
How old were you about? Like, you were young married?
I was about 30, I think. About maybe 32. Something about that. And she called me and she said, Carolyn, go out on your front porch and get your Tribune and go to page B2. And there's a contest there. And if you enter that contest, you will win. And I thought, oh, that's so nice. This sister and I that are rivals. Now she's going to do something nice for me. Nice for me to win this contest. So I went out there and got the Tribune and opened it to page B2, and there it was. It was a clutter contest, a clutter and messy house contest. And she thought I would win. And you know, for a couple of minutes, my feelings were kind of hurt. But then I thought, you know, you will win. What are you waiting for? Get going on this.
The best way to get back at her.
Yeah. And the prize was to have, and so what I had to do was write about how I struggled with clutter. And so I wrote that up and sent it to the Tribune. And about a week later, I got a call and they said, you are a finalist. And I didn't know whether to be insulted or thrilled. I didn't know which one it was supposed to be. But the finalists all had to go down to the Tribune and meet together. And when we talked to each other, we realized we all kind of did struggle with that. I remember one lady had a box at her house and it said, string too short to use. So she had all these little things of string.
Oh, gosh.
And another one had a room full of paint cans. And me, it was my papers from my writing. And they explained that I should call myself... We should call ourselves organizationally impaired or domestically challenged. We should call ourselves one of those two things. And so when we were all sitting there in the room, getting to know each other and having a good time, all of a sudden they said, the winners are the Campbells. Oh, and I was stunned and everything. And then the prize was having these two sisters who sponsored the contest come to my house and help me go through my house and organize it and see. I love them dearly, those two sisters. So they came out and they explained that people are born either, they told me I should call myself organizationally impaired or domestically challenged.
Which did you go with?
I think I went with organizationally impaired, but I also love domestically challenged. And they told me
I consider myself domestically challenged.
Do you really? Yeah, we do. They told me it's pretty common, and they told me that each family usually gets one born organized child. Some people are born organized, and they don't struggle with this at all. Uh-huh. And they said that, each family gets one of those, but I knew I wasn't one of those. So they stayed for 2 days. And the first day we just did my living room, and it took all day to unclutter it. And then we did the kitchen, and then they told me that they were going to come back in 3 weeks and see if I had gone through and uncluttered my whole house. And one thing about it, it made me feel really good. It made me feel like I wasn't alone, that I thought I was the only person that struggled with clutter like this. But they helped me see. They told me that 60% of people have more clutter than they want, about 60%.
Yeah, that doesn't actually surprise me. So yeah. Did you manage to sort of maintain a less cluttered life, or
it did help me?
Did it just come back?
One thing they told me, to always put my purse in the same place, and I would usually just leave it somewhere on the floor and then I'd have to find it, but now I always put it in the same place. And they suggested not going through my mail until I had time to throw away all the things that could go in the recycling. Mm-hmm. That's another one that's good. They told me to, I could just take an hour to clean if I wanted to, set my timer. Not feel like, sometimes they said people, and I had done this before, people that are into clutter, they just take everything out, like out of their closet. They take everything out. We take everything out, and then we're so tired, we think, I don't want to do any more with that.
I was the worst housekeeper. I could have maybe given you a run for your money. And then I discovered Fly Lady.
Oh.
Have you heard of that?
The two ladies that came to my house eventually sold their business to Fly Lady.
Oh. Yeah, they... And the main thing that I learned from her was you can do anything for 15 minutes.
I love
and
that.
Since I have a chronic illness that also made it hard for me to do stuff, the knowing I actually could do something for 15 minutes. But the point was, it had to be like what you were saying. You couldn't take your whole closet. It had to be a thing you could totally get done within the 15 minutes, like put away and everything, which really just means look at a couple outfits in your closet, and the things that are going go right out, like into your car, basically into your box. Like you can't just leave it around. Like, I would have piles of stuff. This is what I'm going to get rid of. But eventually, other stuff would find its way into the pile. And then I would need to resort the pile again.
Oh, yeah.
Or the pile would fall over and you'd have stuff all over the floor. So that 15-minute thing and the finishing of, only doing what you can actually do. Life-changing.
Yeah. Life-changing. I remember they told me, and if you get one thing done that you're supposed to during a day and one thing that you want to, you should call that a good day, even if you only get that far. And they told me to share with friends, like the 15 minutes. They said, call a friend, and both of you set your timers for 15 minutes.
Oh,
and
fun.
Then do 15 minutes worth of cleaning or uncluttering.
Yeah, because most of us don't actually want to be slobs.
No.
Somewhere along the line, the clutter has become overwhelming. And you look, like when I would tell my boys, go clean your room, and they would stand in their doorway, and it was an impossible task to clean their room because it was just everything. So then you say, just go through and pick up all the army men.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just go through and pick up all the Lincoln Logs or all the underwear.
I love that.
And it made it so much easier because that was my problem too. And
mine too. Yeah.
But isn't that so true for our whole life? We think, like someone out there who might be listening, who might think, I would sure love to write something. And we think it's just such a huge task. I don't know how to write. I don't know what to write. I don't know who I would send my work to. Like, just take it one little step. Like, what's that old adage? How do you eat an elephant?
Yes.
I mean, I hate that adage because who wants to eat an elephant? But yeah, so I know it's so fun hearing you talk about these your story experiences because your joy just shines right through. And I know that you've got a couple things there that you want to show us because they bring you joy. Can we see them?
Yes, here's the first one. This is a story I had a lot of fun writing. It's about people falling in love and beginning relationships during the pandemic. And I love the design that the artist came up with to make a heart out of a mask for a pandemic.
So she's, for our listeners, she's showing the cover of City Weekly. So, like, not too shabby. And it's called
Pandemic Passions.
Pandemic Passions. And it has a mask in a heart shape.
I just thought that was cute. Very cute. And that was a fun story. Like, there were people that would, they knew they couldn't have dinner together, so they'd each go out and get some dinner and then bring it back and eat it on FaceTime. That was
nice.
And then this one is about ghosts.
Oh,
cover. And it's called Got Ghosts.
Uh-huh.
And one thing that brought me joy about this one was that I won this award. I won this Society of Professional Journalists Award.
Oh, wow.
And to win that, you have to compete with all the professional journalists in the state. So that was absolutely a thrill.
That is so cool. And then you've got something that's very close to your heart.
Yes. One thing about me is I write a lot about people who feel different because I knew how it was to feel different. And the reason I did is because I was an adopted child and I was the only adopted child in my neighborhood. And I had absolutely wonderful parents who adopted me, absolutely wonderful. But if you're an adopted child, there's a voice in your head that kind of goes, someone didn't keep me. Did that someone not want me? If they didn't, why not? And so when it was not quite as common as it is now, I searched for my birth family. And this is my birth father's family. You can see here's a picture of him up here. And there's...
It's in the Sunday paper.
It was on the front page of the Tribune a long time ago. And it was a great experience for me for one reason. I grew up with kind of a funny last name. My maiden name was Goats, just like a goat in a field.
Yeah.
And people made fun of us, and people would call our house and go, is this the Goats' residence? And we'd say yes, and they'd go, 1, 2, 3, bah! You know, stuff like it. But my dad had a lot of fun with it, and a story that's fun about him, he was on our roof fixing the air conditioner, and our neighbor said, Mr. Goats, what are you doing up there? And he said, well, I am part mountain goat, you know. Fun stuff like that. And then to find out that my birth father's last name was Presley, and that he was maybe distantly related. That was
all this time you could have been capitalizing on the Presley connection.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun one. And then,
but I'm so glad you got a happy childhood.
Oh,
with
I
your
did.
Adopted family.
It was wonderful. They were wonderful to me. But they could tell what I was like right away. My dad bought me a tricycle when I was 3, you know, a 3-wheeled tricycle. And I got on it. And he thought I would ride all over and ride it every day. I got on it and I rode up the street two houses. And I said, I want my book now. So I've loved writing and books just absolutely forever. It's my one dream. And I'd like to encourage everyone out there who would like to try maybe some nonfiction writing. You know, if there's something you want to learn about, or as you can see, if there's something kind of even hard in your personal life, like if you're cluttered or if you're adopted or anything, those are good things to write about.
Carolyn, before we get started talking about joy, is there a place, like a regular place, people could check for classes that you might be teaching about writing nonfiction? Because you said you like to teach that.
I do like to. Boy, what a good question. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think. Should I give him if you want to see samples of my work, go on cityweekly.net and put my name in and you can see some samples. My most recent one was an article about people interacting with aliens, people who thought they had been abducted or interacted with these aliens. And so that was kind
Neat.
of a fun one.
So do you just teach then at conferences?
I teach at like the League of Utah Writers, or I loved being at Story Makers. You probably
Gotcha.
love Story Makers too, don't you?
I
It's
do.
really fun, and you're going to go to Kansas and give a talk in Kansas. Oh, whoops. I'm sorry.
Okay. I think this will air after it's public. So if not, I can cut
I was a really
it.
shy girl. I could never picture myself speaking. Like one day I
Really?
went to my friend's house and her mom was kind of a character and she gave us this stuff. It was actually like a hot sauce and she told us it was a salad dressing. And she said, "I want you guys to taste this." So I put it in my mouth and it burned all over in my mouth, but I just held my mouth closed. Everyone else was running and spitting theirs out, but I was too shy, so I just held my mouth shut.
And now look at you. You're gesturing. You're excited to share. I love it. It's because you have found what makes you happy.
Oh, I have.
So, how do you define joy, Carolyn?
Oh, I define it as lasting happiness. I think it's happiness that lasts a long time. And I agree with that scripture that I've heard, man is that he might have joy. I think we're really supposed to have joy. I find way too much joy in food, though. I love to eat. And I've done some food
Me
writing.
too.
There's always some joy. And I love good movies and good books, and I love my family, and all of those things lead to, and my writing, lots of joy in writing.
Where do you find joy in that? Like, is there something specific? Especially since it's not always sunshine and rainbows.
No.
Tell me about that.
When I finish, every time I finish an article, I feel like dancing. I feel like when the
And
editor
do you
says
dance?
it's in, oh, I'd love to. I just think about that. I feel like dancing. It feels so good. And when I have a good interview, when it's a good one, oh, you just feel so good. I'm sure you've had that experience. There's nothing like a great interview. Like one thing I thought was interesting is the judge of the clutter contest. We did some more writing together after, and she told me that a lot of famous people are cluttered. Like Abraham Lincoln was really cluttered. She found out. And Katie Couric, she borrowed a coat from this clutter lady and she forgot to give it back. And so finally the clutter lady, Pam Young, her name is, went to get her coat back from Katie Couric, and she reached in the pocket and Katie Couric had left a chicken bone in the pocket. So she could see that there she was, this Oprah, she said,
Still had
also
a problem.
still had a problem. So that's been, I write a lot about that. And then because of my adoption, I write a lot about being different, like I said. And I was going to show you this article, but I can probably just tell you about it. It has a tree and a black sheep peeking around the tree. And it was about what if your genealogy isn't perfect? Because when I wrote that, I couldn't say, well, I have a long list of, I know all these people and all the, I couldn't say any of that. So I called this, I found this place called the Black Sheep Society. and there are people that have, you have to have a black sheep in your family to belong to them. That's a fun thing. And what they said to me, they said, if there's a skeleton in your closet, why not make it dance? You know, emphasize that. So that was a fun one that I wrote.
I love that.
Yeah, and I loved interviewing David Osmond, where he said, do you believe in miracles? I hope you do, because you're looking at one. And he felt that he was a miracle because he had been able to cope with his multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, and I just watched an interview with him and the whole Osmond family on BYU TV recently. And it seems like he'd been through even more things, but he still found ways to participate in his family's activities. Like, how amazing.
How amazing.
He didn't let his handicaps get in the way or stop him from being a fully participating member of this very public, talented family. And whereas many of us would just fade into the background.
And I'll never forget him sitting across from me. Do you believe in miracles? Because you're looking at one. I thought that was just so, so amazing. I've met a lot of wonderful people. A lot of friends, a lot of well-known people, and I wouldn't have any of that without my writing. And so my writing feels really like those two clutter ladies. If I hadn't written and entered that contest, I wouldn't have that. And so it's just led to all kinds of things.
So what keeps you going, though, when things are hard?
One thing that someone said to me really helped, and that's Diane Thomas. I've done some writing with her. Have you ever heard of her?
Name is familiar, but...
Yeah, she was on the Today Show for 8 years.
And so that would be why.
I wrote about her being on the Today Show, but she really struggles with reading, which reading was always easy. We were opposites. Reading was always easy for me, but outdoor stuff, not so much. And she loved outdoor stuff, but she really struggled to read. And so we kind of joined forces and did some. But she says in her class, if you send out pitches and you get a no or you get several no's, just remember that no means next. No, let's go on to the next thing. Try again.
I can honestly say I have not heard that. That is awesome.
I love it. Do you think no means next? Just keep trying to find a new place. Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah, I really love that.
I do too.
Normally, at the end of our interviews, I ask if there's more that my guest wants to say, and I feel like that... But surely you probably have more you'd like to say. But that is amazing advice.
Isn't that great? Totally keep just that. Remember, yeah. No means next and go on to
well,
that.
Well, I mean, we've heard that when God closes a door, a window opens. But when no means next is just so easy to remember and to think of. Thank you for that.
And then I'd like to say, if you're someone that's writing fiction and you're researching for that fiction, look at the topics that you're researching, and those might be some good articles or some good nonfiction. While you're waiting to get to your big project, your book, while you're researching, there could be some smaller articles or nonfiction projects that you could put in there. And that would be
good. I had never considered that. But
you could.
Why not?
And then
I love that you're so full of ideas. Yes, what else?
And then personal experience. Like I said, I did my clutter run and my finding my birth family. And those are two experiences that maybe not everyone has. But then you can also write about experiences that a lot of people have. Like how to study for your driver's license test. What to do if you lose your wallet. You know, you can...
Yeah.
You can write about some everyday things that a lot of people would have too. Yeah. Personal experience is a great category. And self-help is another one. I wrote an article called How to Keep Your Home and Home Office from Overlapping, probably related to my clutter problem. And it was how to keep it so that your professional and your you know, your home office things aren't in with your regular stuff, and your regular stuff isn't in your home
office. I've had a lot of work from home people, not just writers, could benefit from that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a fun one. I sent that off a lot and sold it several times. And then after I sold my clutter article was in Family Circle, which was kind of a big women's magazine at one time. And then a lot of people wrote to me and they said, I can change my clutter. I can fix mine. But what about the kids? And that made me start researching an article called Kids and Clutter. And then I sold that a lot of places too. And then that led
me. So are you a clutter expert now?
I guess so. And then that led, I went to, I gave about 100 talks about what it was like in churches and schools. And I guess there are lots of people that feel like they're cluttered.
Well, like you told me before we got started, that like 60% of people struggle with,
have more clutter than they want, 60%. Yeah. And a lot of Oprah was on this list my friend gave me. And Katie Couric leaving that chicken bone in that coat.
Yeah. I think it just goes to show that we really are so much alike. We're just human and all struggling in this human endeavor. And
so
we probably have so many more things alike than we do different.
And I really feel that writing nonfiction and interviewing people, that's really brought that home to me, that we really do have a lot of things more alike than different. I think.
And isn't that so wonderful? I love discovering ways that I am the same or someone is the same as me, especially when there's someone I thought I could never have something to talk about with them. The trick is, though, you do have to be willing to sort of reveal yourself to other people.
So
in order, because most people aren't going to do it. So if you're capable of doing it, you probably should, or you could anyways.
Yeah.
And you've done that with your writing. You open it up with the writing so that then people feel safe to talk to you about their things.
That's true. And I found in interviews, if you, although I'm careful not to talk about myself too much because I want them to talk, but if I reveal a little bit about things that I'm struggling with or things that I've gone through, then they feel more comfortable revealing their experiences. So I always tell people to do that. That's one way to get them to feel comfortable, to tell a little bit about what you went through. And then
that's amazing. Because that's one of the things that does scare me, and I'm sure scares a lot of people, who want to write a thing that requires them to interview other people. Because if you haven't been trained in journalistic approaches, it feels really intimidating to consider interviewing someone. But being authentic and being willing to be as open with them as you want them to be with you, that makes a lot of sense.
And what someone told me once, I love this, they said, just consider yourself, talk to one nice guy. Just pretend you're talking to one nice guy when you in the interview.
Yeah.
And and then I used to write 10 questions when I was going to go to an interview, and the first three were really non-threatening, and then if I had to do one that was kind of a sticky issue, I would wait till I got down to 6 or 7 and then write that.
Make them real comfortable with you.
And then ask them about that. But
yeah. Well, you are one good person, Carolyn. You are such a gift to our local writing community. And I had no idea how far your reach has gone through your nonfiction work. Like, what a wonderful legacy.
I wanted to show you. I think I have. Yeah. I was on the cover of People magazine once. I've written for.
Were you?
People magazine. I mean, a story I wrote was. I will find it really quick. Yeah, here's.
I'm afraid I'm not very good at, like, saving the special things.
Here's my David Osmond. That's a nice picture.
Oh.
Of him. And then this is the only time I've had a story on the cover of People magazine. It was Lori Hacking's murder. Do you remember that at all?
She was,
Her husband killed her. Ugh. And he said he didn't, and it was someone else and all of that. So it was kind of a murder mystery. Let's see, 2004. Whoa.
Okay.
But I signed a recent contract with People to start writing for him again, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, congratulations.
It's fun, yes. But I would just want to say, don't be afraid to send your pitches off. I'm doing some work with an editor who was my editor at Women's World in New York and New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And she told me, Carolyn, get in touch with your inner Brooklyn. Don't be afraid. And so I wore a shirt that said, get in touch with your inner Brooklyn to story makers.
What does that mean?
It means be proactive. Don't be afraid to make that phone call. Don't hang back and say, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Reach out, be brave, give it your darndest. And the two of us wanted to try to interview Elizabeth Smart together. And I did everything I could to get us an interview, and we got an interview with her.
Oh.
And it went just great. So yeah, I would say, and then another thing she did, she got a red stapler. She was working with a woman who didn't seem to be doing her job in public relations. She thought she'd still be really good at it. So she took a red stapler and touched one side and touched the other, and she said, by the order of the stapler, I declare you'll be great in public relations. And she was.
Oh, I kind of love that, the power of manifestation, self-belief and everything.
All great stuff, do you think? Yes.
Oh, I think we could talk for a very long time about all the wonderful things you could teach us. So...
This was an honor to be here.
Sorry, go ahead.
This was an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. I am so happy to chat with you. And I will be so excited to help share your podcast when it comes out, because Carolyn and her son have a true crime podcast in the works. So that'll be awesome. I can't wait. She's so happy. And it's hard to imagine the true crime side, but...
It'll be interesting. And since we're both Campbells, we're calling it True Crime Soup. I probably told you that.
You did, but we didn't tell them.
Yeah.
So definitely watch for True Crime Soup when it comes out. Carolyn, you are amazing. And I want to learn from you even more now. So I hope that you'll be speaking and teaching again soon so that I can...
And I hope our paths will cross again.
Oh, for sure. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. This has been so much fun. I hope that you have felt some of what's just flowing from Carolyn. That kind of joy is available for all of us. So I think we just need to dig through the clutter of our lives and find those things that bring us joy.
Oh, that's a wonderful
statement. Have a great
week,
everyone.
I love that.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Okay, stay with me.